We started reading in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1, where Nehemiah heard what Hananiah was saying to him, and we talked about hearing last week, right? We talked about hearing the voice of God and the impact, the influence, and how important it is to hear and to listen. And so Nehemiah heard, and because Nehemiah heard, we know the story of Nehemiah, it produced action. So step number one was hearing, and then when he heard, it produced action later on in the book. And also last week we talked about Jesus being our good shepherd. Remember that? And I asked the question for you is he your shepherd? And are you one of his sheep? Was a question that we talked about last week. And so, talking about hearing, this morning I'm just going to kind of go part two of hearing. And so I'm just going to keep this series just going here this morning. Talking about us hearing from God and recognizing and learning this morning that God is a good communicator. And he communicates in all different ways, all different through people, through things. He can communicate in all different ways. And so if there is confusion or misunderstanding, it's not on God's end. Something on our end is not quite right that we're not hearing properly. And so hearing from God is incredibly important. And so we want to talk about some communication this morning and just seeing at how God speaks through different things. Now, I'm sure if I'd ask you, probably all of us would have, hopefully we have a list of things, of ways that God spoke to us. Like in your life, if I would ask you, has God ever spoken to you? Did you ever hear him? And hopefully you would have a number of things that say, you know what, I look at my life, God spoke to me here, God showed me this here, God revealed this here. And probably there would be all different ways, all different things, lots of different things where you heard from God, right? I could share lots of stories and lots of ways that God has spoken to me, whether it's through his word or some things, circumstances or something. But we're not going to talk about necessarily, I'm not going to share all my journey this morning, and I'm not going to give you the opportunity to share this morning, but just think about it. We are going to look in a book of the Bible, though. It's a short book, four chapters, and we're going to look at some different ways that God spoke through things. Okay, he did it through all different things in this book. And so we're going to look at the book of Jonah. We're going to look at the story of Jonah. And in this story, God used a number of different things that he spoke to and that made a difference in the story. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning is a Bible character, a Bible story, and just seeing how God speaks through different things, okay? Jonah chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 1. It starts out, it says this, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying." So, the very first verse in this book, it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So, God spoke to Jonah verbally. And God speaks to us verbally too as well. I really believe he does. So God spoke clearly to Jonah, and he gave him a message, and he said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And so here's what God told Jonah. He gave him a command. He said, "Go to Nineveh, go to that great city, cry against it, their wickedness has come up before me." So God had a plan. God had something that he wanted to do. And he wanted to use a person. He often wants to use people, often does use people when he wants to accomplish something. So he wanted to accomplish something, and he sees Jonah, and so he speaks to Jonah and says, "Jonah, go." And Jonah heard this verbally, and then Jonah had a choice. And when we hear God speak clearly, we have a choice as well on what we do with that. We know what choice Jonah made. It says, "Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went to Joppa and he found the ship going to Tarshish. That's not a good case. Fleeing from the presence of the Lord. But that's what Jonah chose. And you know, sometimes before we're too hard on Jonah, let's be careful. Because sometimes when we know what we're supposed to do and it looks difficult, we choose not to do it and we go the other way as well. And I do really believe sometimes we walk away from the presence of the Lord because we're not obedient, just like Jonah did. So verse 1, we have God spoke to Jonah verbally. And then in verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. We talked about Paul's ship breaking. This here says this ship was about to be broken up. So here we have Jonah going down into a ship, okay? And it says, the Lord sent out a great storm. So here we have God working through a storm. He's not speaking to anybody, but he's speaking to the wind and the waves. Remember, he created all the wind and the waves. So when he speaks to them, they can do whatever he says. So here is another way the Lord is communicating in the story of Jonah. He's speaking to the wind and the waves. And these wind and the waves are part of God's plan. It's not people, but it's still part of God's plan. So the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea that the ship was about to be broken up. So we have God speaking to Jonah in verse 1. And then here in verse 4, I see God working and speaking through a storm. Now, storm is not something we generally enjoy. Not many people that I know of at all enjoy storms. We like the peace and the calm. But here God's working through a storm. Okay, I'm not going to read all this. I think most of us know the story of Jonah. But I'm just going to pick out the points where God is specifically speaking to someone or something to get a point across. That's what I'm getting at here this morning, is the way that God communicates isn't always the same. We can't just put that in a little box. All right? So, verse 15. We're going to go down to verse 15. We know the story. There was a huge storm came up, and the captain, the men, they were all got all worked up, and rightly so, because their lives were at risk. And they start throwing things overboard, and they cast lots. They found out it was Jonah. Then in verse 15, they found out it was Jonah. Verse 15, it says, they picked up Jonah, they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. So here God spoke to the sea, and told that to be a storm. There was a storm. And here in verse 15, God says, hey, stop. So here God is communicating again. Not through people, but to the wind and the waves. And the sea, the storm stops. Completely. See, God is moving again. Because through the calming of the storm, God is involved in all of that. He's right there. So, God speaks to storms. I believe he speaks to storms in your life and allows them to come up, and he also tells them to stop as well. Ways that God communicates. All right, so they threw Jonah overboard. And then verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. They offered a sacrifice of the Lord and took vows. And then in verse 17, all right, here's another one. Verse 17, it says, now the Lord had prepared, so here's working of the Lord again. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Oh my goodness. So here God is working through and communicating his plan and agenda through a great fish. It says the Lord prepared this thing. So the Lord gets this great fish, and it goes, and it swallows up Jonah. Chapter 2. Then look what Jonah did. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly." Why wasn't Jonah praying before? Probably the same reason we don't always pray until we come into a situation to where we don't like. But here God is working through a fish. And Jonah prayed. So now we have communicating from Jonah to God. Jonah is praying to God. Chapter 2, verse 10. Here's another way the Lord is communicating in this chapter. It says, "So the Lord spoke to the fish." And here's what the Lord spoke. Well, it doesn't say what he said, but it said the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry ground. So God spoke to the fish. He communicated to this fish and said, "Hey, get rid of my man Jonah." So God is communicating again in ways that we never even imagine, of God speaking to a fish. But he is. That's what happens. Verse chapter 3, the word of the Lord. Here is God speaking again. This is verbal speaking. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." So this is only the second time we have God doing all things, different things in chapter 1. Here's the second time that God is verbally speaking. And he says, "Hey, Jonah, rise, go to the city of Nineveh, preach the message that I tell you." So that was the second time that God spoke to him. Now in chapter 4, verse 2. Now I'll start in verse 1. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry." And then verse 2 here again, it says, "So he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord God." So here's another time where we have Jonah praying to the Lord. Okay, so we have him praying in chapter 1, and now we have him praying again. Then in chapter 4, verse 4, the Lord spoke again and said, and there's a conversation between Jonah and the Lord. And he says, "Lord, is it right for you to be so angry?" So we have that personal conversation between Jonah and God. Now look what else he uses in verse 6 in chapter 4. It says, "And the Lord prepared." Remember, before he prepared a fish, now he prepared something else for Jonah. It said, "The Lord prepared a plant." Really? Yeah. "He prepared a plant, and he made it come over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery." So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. So here we have God using a plant in the story of Jonah as well. He uses animals, he verbally spoke, and now here he's using a plant. Verse 7, the very next verse. "But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant that it withered." So here God is using a plant, he's using animals, first he used a fish, now he's using a worm to destroy the plant. Verse 8, in the same chapter, "And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head that he grew faint, that he wished death for himself. Then he said, it's better for me to die than to live." A vehement means scorching or a really bad east wind. So now we have God using the weather again. You know, obviously before he used the winds and the waves and the sea, now he's using wind that's coming in and it's affecting Jonah. And then in verse 10, almost the end of the chapter, the Lord speaks again. He said, "But the Lord said, you will have pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor you made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, and much livestock?" So we have God speaking again. So God is a good communicator. He's creative. He can use all different kinds of things. So let's not put him in a box, but let's learn to be aware of ways that God's speaking to us. And so I want us to learn to not only recognize, but also even going from here that God can speak in all different ways to you this week. He really can. He's very creative. He's a very good communicator. And if I'm missing what he's trying to communicate, it's not on his end. It's on my end. But let's just pray and ask God, that God, open my eyes that I can really see where you're working. Like the story of Jonah. There was just all different things that God used in the story of Jonah to communicate what he wanted to communicate. And so the question this morning is, are you paying attention or are you listening? How much are you paying attention? How much are you listening? How much do we really want to know what God has to say? Is a question that I have. Do we really want to know what God has to say? Can he speak into your situation? Absolutely. Does he have something to say? Absolutely. And I think a lot of times we miss it just because we may think we don't need to hear from him, or we think our way is better, or we try to put our agenda first before God's. So do you really want to know what God has to say? He'll show it. There's no doubt in my mind. Psalms 19 says this. Psalms 19, 1 and 2, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech." Really? Yeah. And I looked at that verse last night. A lot of different translations use that exact word. Day unto day utters speech. So God is just using the firmament, his creation. The heavens, it says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament, those things are uttering speech. So they're talking. They're revealing things of God. Just like the story of Jonah. There's lots of different things that just communicated. And the heavens are doing that. The firmament is doing that. There's things all around us that are communicating, and they're declaring the glory of God. We have lots of media, lots of news right now that is doing the complete opposite. But this is what the Bible says, and this is what is true, is that the creation, the things around us that God created, are declaring the glory of God. And oftentimes we simply miss it. But they are. They're declaring the glory of God. It says, day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line goes throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. He has set a tabernacle for the sun. So we're surrounded by amazing and just awesome craftsmanship of God. The creation that God created, we are surrounded by that. And it is giving glory to God. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what we think or what we do. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. Something else that is created for the glory of God, but it has a choice, and that's you and me. You are a creation of God. Not only are the heavens and the earth absolutely amazing and incredible, but you are a creation of God. And let's think about this a little bit. You were created and formed by Almighty God. Do you get that? Almighty God created you and your spouse and your children. We are people that God created. And it's beautiful. Psalms 139 says, "I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." And that's what you are as well. Each one of us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are part of God's creation, and it's beautiful. So not only are the heavens declaring the glory of God, but you and me are workmanship of our Heavenly Father, and it's beautiful. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We sang that song a lot already, God Made Me Somebody Special. We all know that song. We probably sang it hundreds of times for several years. But do you believe it? Like, it's one thing to just sing God Made Me Someone Special. But do you really believe that? That God really made you somebody special? Because you are. You are. And not only did he make you someone special, but he wants to communicate with you. We're talking about hearing. We're talking about communication this morning. He wants to communicate with you. He really does. He wants a relationship with us. And in that relationship, a good relationship has lots of communication. And so he wants to communicate. Just, it seems like it's often one-sided to where we just always share our thoughts and problems and agenda, and we don't hear from Almighty God. And that's what I was want to get to. That's what we're talking about last Sunday, especially this Sunday, is just learning to hear from God, to receive from God, and recognizing he speaks in all different ways. So how do we make our communication with God better? Like, we know that our Heavenly Father created us, and he wants to communicate things with us. He wants a relationship with us. But how do we make it better? Or are we at the best we can be? If that's a question in your mind, the answer is no. But so what are we going to do this week that we're going to try to take our communication with God to the next level? What are we going to do? Are there ways for you to do it? And, you know, maybe some of you will say, well, yeah, I'll spend more time on Facebook, a little bit more Instagram. I'll read some more news this week. I'll play a couple more video games. Maybe I'll download the newest app on communication. Wouldn't that be cool? Is that gonna help your communication with God? I think you know the answer to that. But that's what the world and the world system is telling us to do, is to spend more time in those things, trying to figure out and learn who you are, what your purpose is, where that's not what Scripture says. The Bible says, abide in me and I abide in you. Draw close to me and I will draw close to you. The ways to communicate with God . We'll get to that just in a little bit. Let me talk about this verse first. Timothy, when Paul talks to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 17, he's talking about, in the chapter, he's talking about perilous men and perilous times, and that's what we're in my perspective. Our times look pretty difficult, pretty perilous right now. But in verse 17, he says this. He says, always learning. And we have lots of ways to learn. We have lots of information. Just stuff is just at our fingertips. And there are some very intelligent people out there, and I know some of you are very intelligent as well, which can be very good. There's nothing wrong with that. But what he's talking to Timothy here, he says, they're always learning, but they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's pretty sad. That's sad. That's a disaster. It really is. People that are so intelligent, they know so much, but yet they're completely missing the truth. Learning to communicate God is going to be learning what is truth. Because God speaks truth. And through his word, in his word, is truth. The Scripture is full of truth. Now, but before we are too hard on those people of spending too much time on just getting information, not learning the truth, how bad do you really want to know the truth? Does truth matter to you? It's a question, I think it's a valid question. Because if truth doesn't matter to us, then the decisions we make on what we, how we fill our minds is going to make a huge difference. God is going to communicate through the truth, through the Word of God, through Scripture. And we also know that God communicates through a lot of other things as well. But the question I have for you is, how bad do you really want, truth? Are you spending more time learning man's ideas and man's opinion than you are simply looking into the Word of God and spending time in the Word of God and learning the truth? Colossians 3:16 and 17 says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. He's saying here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This was before, you know, all the news media and the Facebook, the Instagram. It's before all that. Paul is saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But I'm sure they had something else. Satan had something else that he would use to deceive people then as well. But Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I want to put that out here to you this morning. That the let the word of Christ dwell in you richly this week. All right, so God is a good communicator. A few other things we want to talk about here this morning. We recognize that God's a good communicator, but something else in our communication is in Matthew 13, 1 to 23. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we are going to look at just some things that we can learn here in Matthew 13. So Matthew 13 is where it talks about the parable of the sower. Okay, the first verse, it says, Jesus, on the same day, he went out of the house, and he sat by the sea. A great multitude came together, and he got together in a boat, and the whole multitude stood on shore, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, and so here he says, he's talking about the parable of the sower. He's speaking to them this parable. Now, what does the parable of the sower have to do with communication? If you jump down to verse I'm going to read verses 18 to 23 because that wraps it up of the parable. The parable, when he speaks, you can read the whole chapter if you want, but specifically 18 to 23 wraps it up, and here's what it says. Therefore, hear the parable, if I can say it right, the parable of the sower. This is the explanation of what he means. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Verse 20, he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and he immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse 22, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word. Notice all the hearing that's going on in these verses. I should have brought it out before. But we were talking about hearing last week, and here it is in this passage again. He who hears, he who hears, he who hears. Verse 23, he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 60, 100-fold, and some 30. So the reason I bring this up is, you know, communicating. What does this have to do with communicating? What this has to do with communicating is the condition of your soil is up to you. It's your responsibility. Because we have the Word of God. We have an Almighty God. He has lots to say, and he often speaks it. But what condition, the condition that we are in when we hear it produces different outcomes. You understand that? So we have the Word of God, and we have different conditions that we are in that are our responsibility. We're the ones that control whether we're stony, whether it's thorny, whether we understand it, or whether it's good ground. That's our responsibility. And so I want you to just think about that a little bit this morning on the responsibility that you and I have on the condition of our heart and our mind. That when God does speak to you, what do you do with it? There's four things he mentions here in this parable. Verse 19, this is number one. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. So this, the first one he brings up is when you hear what I say or the words of the kingdom and you don't understand it. It says the wicked one comes and it snatches it away. That's the first thing. The second one is this. Verse 20, he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word, receives it with joy, but he doesn't have any root in himself. It's only there for a little bit. When tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So this person stumbles. If he or she has a stony heart. So the first one is the wicked one takes it away. The second one is you stumble. The third one he talks about in verse 22 is he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. So those are the three of the things he's talking about in this parable here. One is, okay, the word is being spoken, right? If you don't understand it, when it gets difficult, it's going to be cast aside. The thorns, you hear the word, you receive it with joy, but then when persecution and tribulation comes, you stumble. And then verse 22 says, he who received the seed among the thorns, you hear the word, the cares of this world, and the riches choke it out, and you become unfruitful. None of those are ones that we want to be in. None of those three are good options. But yet, in reality, it's where we are sometimes on what we do with the word of God. Now, here's the fourth thing that he says. In verse 23, he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces 60, 100-fold, and some 30-fold. The condition of your heart, the condition of your soil is up to you, and it's up to me. And so when we're talking about God communicating with our Heavenly Father, having good soil is important. So be good ground. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then in verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We all want to be in the will of God. We all want to do the will of God. But he starts out the verse saying something not to be. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't do that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you can prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what the Bible says, and that's the way it's going to work. That's what works. So, talking about God is a good communicator, your soil is very important. One more thing I want to talk about here in the last couple minutes here that greatly affects our communicating with God. And that's this. 1 Peter 5:5-6 says this, "Likewise, ye younger people, submit to the elders. Yes, all of you be in submission one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." James, that was in 1 Peter. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." Several weeks ago, Seth read Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He read that. And in that, the one verse says, talks about the meek inheriting the earth. Last Sunday morning, Steve, in your children's story, you talked about Matthew 27, where it talked about he that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. That story was a great story last week, Steve, for those of you that were here. But what I'm getting at here is in communicating with God, we're talking about communicating with God. One thing I want us to recognize here that does not work in communicating with God. And that's these verses in 1 Peter 5 and 6, James 4, is that God resists the proud. So do you expect good communication to happen with somebody that resists you? No. And so I want us just to be aware. I'm not here this morning and saying, oh, you're all proud. What I want you to learn here is so maybe there's pride there, and if it is, take care of it. But what I want to tell you this morning is to recognize that God resists the proud. So we want to take our communication with God to the next level. If there's pride there, you're going to be resisted. That's not going to help the situation. Okay, it says very clearly that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God's a good communicator. He wants us to hear. He wants us to listen, and he can communicate in all different ways. So I'm just going to wrap it up this morning with that. And so in learning to communicate with God, last week we talked about hearing, that being important. This morning we looked at the story of Jonah and just saw how many different ways, how many different things that God can speak through in a situation. And then we talked about the soil. And so I want you to really inspect your heart today. And really, what kind of soil are you? Are you good soil? And then recognizing that in communicating, if there's pride there, you're being resisted by God. That's not a good ingredient for communicating with our Heavenly Father. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly this week. Have good soil. Be humble. Psalms 19, we looked at verses 1 and 2 in Psalms 19 where it talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day, utter speech, night unto night. We talked about that. The last verse in that chapter is verse 14, and this is what I want to leave you with this morning. It says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And I want to pray that as we dismiss this morning. Do you know the difference that would be? The difference it would make, I believe. No, we don't know the difference. But for us this week, this is my challenge, homework, for you to take this week, is every morning to start out with that being your prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. To start your day out like that is a good way to start out your day. And in that frame, creating good soil and learning to hear from God, having a good communication with God, is going to take us places that we've never known. And I say us as a church because you're part of it, and you too as well. So bless you for being here this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then you guys are dismissed. So Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, thank you that you're a good communicator. You have ways, all different kind of ways to speak. You're creative. And so, Lord, this week I'm asking that you would take us to a new level of hearing and communicating with you. Father calls us to have good soil. Lord, we want to be that good ground that hears the word, that understands the word, and brings forth fruit. God, we also talked about you resist the proud. And so, Father, when we talk about communicating, being in a state of resistance really hinders communication. And so, Lord, I pray that us as people, we would be humble, completely humble. And so use us this week for your glory. Thank you for each person that's here. I speak a blessing for each person that's here. Lord, let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you, God. You're so good. Thank you for what you have in store for the rest of the day. Lord willing, this week, if we have breath and life, that we would take this week, the opportunities we have, this we're going to have this week, that we live it for your honor and for your glory. You're good, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Thanks so much for coming. And again, for those of you, if you want to hang out in the park this afternoon or tonight at 6, let my wife know.